precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry. Catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, oh God, I know.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? That is the question that we do raise this morning to all those that are here, to those watching on Facebook. We hope you are washed in the blood of Jesus. And speaking of His blood, today we are going to observe the Lord's death. And the Bible tells us to do that until He comes. And what better time to do that than around Christmas time? And so this is our Christmas Communion Sunday. And so welcome this morning. So good to have you. Want to say thank you for our visitors. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming this way. We appreciate you being with us. Good to see the Peppers with us this morning. And always good to have them. Appreciate what they do. Minister to the carnivals and festivals and great witnesses in that ministry. We appreciate home missions, those that are in the States ministering. Of course, we also we appreciate foreign missions as well. We just appreciate missionaries and all that they do. And thank you so very much for your missionary, what you do, whether home or foreign. But anyway, I do have some things to mention this morning. I'm going to try not to prolong too long. We have a busy service this morning, busy afternoon this afternoon, and a busy service tonight, and but we're not going to rush through all of it. We've taken time to come and get here, and so we're going to enjoy it, but we do have a lot going on, and Let me just say this right up front, that our church has been chosen on WDCY Radio, WCB, Word Christian Broadcasting. We are the Church of the Month. And so, yeah. And so, every Wednesday at noon, if you have time and opportunity, tune in, either 1500 a.m., 1520 a.m., or 1300 a.m. That's the Noonan area. But our service, the message and all, will be broadcasted every Wednesday during the month of December at 12 noon. And so that is exciting. We appreciate the radio station. We support them as a church. Appreciate what they do. So I want to just mention that first and foremost this morning, and what a blessing that is. Do remember, kind of doing things in reverse, I'm doing that for a purpose. Remember our Calvary remembrance tree, tree of remembrance, Christmas tree there. Place an ornament if you'd like for a loved one who has gone to be with the Lord, or someone in your life special. Feel free to do that as well. Just remember that. I want to go ahead and mention also that the CLU has a Christmas gathering, Christmas party, get together right after service this morning. And so please stay for that, ladies. It will be a wonderful time. And again, Christmas theme related. And so remember that. And then choir practice will be following that around 3 o'clock. So we've got a lot to cover on choir practice. And then, of course, evening service tonight at 5 o'clock. So that's pretty much the announcements for now. We'll keep you updated as we go. Don't want to throw too much at you at one time. But we do have some prayer requests. We have some people that are sick. We have some people up that have doctor's appointments and things coming up, surgery. Brother Ceylon this morning is at home with COVID. Miss Shirley Townsend is at home this morning with COVID. And I thought I heard of someone else this morning, but I hope I didn't hear of someone else having it. But nonetheless, remember them. Both of them aren't doing good at all. They talked to both of them personally, and they sound bad. They said they felt bad. So do remember them in your prayers, and their spouses as well, that they may not get sick. Remember Miss Barbara Davis and Ben Davis. This is friends of mine who've been visiting. Miss Barbara has been in the hospital since Wednesday. Ben found her unresponsive, but now she has come to. It wasn't a stroke. That was ruled out, but they're still investigating. Hopefully, she'll be able to come home today. So remember Miss Barbara Davis in your prayers. Brother Don, remember him and his upcoming doctor appointments. I believe it's on the 18th. He has a heart cath. And so remember that, but also a heart monitor, I believe is tomorrow, and some other things. And so they're trying to pinpoint what's going on with him. And so just remember Brother Don and Miss Carla as they continue this investigation, really is what it is, to get him where he needs to be health-wise. And so remember that. Also remember Brother Larry. He has a surgery that's coming up. He had a throat surgery a while back. Like throat, esophagus, something, you know, around in that area. I don't know the medical term specifically, but they got to go back in there on the 20th, and a couple more spots was found, and so they have to do that. So please remember Brother Larry on that. And then, of course, we received news that Miss Claudia does have breast cancer, and so we are praying for Miss Claudia. And I told Miss Claudia earlier this week that we're going to have special prayer for her this morning concerning this. We did have special prayer for her at Ceylon's class Christmas party the other night, although Ceylon was not there. But I still want to have special prayer for Miss Claudia this morning, because the church is here. It's corporate prayer. And so, we're getting ready to pray now, and I want to make my way down there to Miss Claudia. I do want to pray for her and all these other requests. And if any deacons, any men would like to join me, and women as well after that can join me as we pray. This will be our morning prayer, and then I will toss things back to Brother Allen. Again, just please pick up a church bulletin. I do want to emphasize that. A lot of work goes into this bulletin each and every week. A lot of work does, believe it or not. I know it's just a piece of paper to many people, But a lot of work goes into this, and we would love for there not to be a bulletin left behind after each service. I'm not trying to be mean or coarse or anything. Definitely not trying to be unkind, but pick up a bulletin. Stay in tune. Know what's going on. Know who needs prayer, and that would be great. But right now, I'd like to come on down and pray for Miss Claudia, and she's getting ready to start this journey as she gets going on her doctor visits and all, knowing what to do, what paths to take. There's another reason why I was thinking about this the other day. I kind of started something around here where someone has a doctor's appointment, a surgery. We have called people down front and only do that if they're comfortable. But on the same token, I believe it emphasizes prayer. And something else, it brings us closer together as a church family. And we're not trying to put on a show, a spectacle. We're just trying to emphasize prayer, and we're trying to pray for one another. And if you ever have an appointment or something coming up and you don't feel comfortable, then we certainly won't do that. But, Ms. Claudia, we love you. We're going to continue covering you in prayer each and every day. And we know that God's in control, and he's going to touch you in a mighty way. So let's all pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' holy name this morning. And I thank you for Ms. Claudia, God. She is a blessing, Lord, to this church and has been for many years. And Father, while there's many people that's not here this morning for whatever reason, it may be a legit reason, but we have Miss Claudia, Lord, and she doesn't even have her sight, and she's here. And on top of that, Lord, she has cancer, and she's here. Lord, there's something to be said about that, about her devotion and dedication. God, she's your servant. She knows she's saved. She's going to heaven. But Father, I do pray for your intervention this morning. We do pray for healing. Who wouldn't pray to be healed from cancer? And so, God, we do pray that you would heal her from her cancer. But Lord, if you do choose another path, the path of chemotherapy, the path, dear Lord, of surgery or whatnot, God, we just pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors and the nurses. Lord, you have given us doctors and nurses and medicine, and we're so very thankful for that. We just pray for your best upon Miss Claudia, and I pray for the peace of God to rule in her heart. I pray for the peace of God that passeth all understanding to guard her mind, be a garrison around her mind, dear God, so that she can live each and every day focused on you, trying to better her health. And so, Father, we praise you in advance for what you're going to do in the life of Miss Claudia. And again, Lord, we have a very busy prayer list for Brother Larry that's getting ready to have surgery. We pray for God's best upon him, and for Brother Don, I pray they'll pinpoint that, Lord, and make him better, God. And for our friend Ricky, who's at home also right now with cancer, Lord, I pray that you would touch him in a mighty way. Brother Ceylon, Miss Shirley, and dear Lord, anybody else that has a heavy burden this morning, a load, we just pray, God, for your very best to occur in their life, and help us keep our eyes on you in the meantime. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. Love you, Miss Claudia. Go ahead.
Church, if you will, as you make your way back to your seats, let's stand, choir, stand with me, and let's sing page 177. Now listen, I know this is a little quick of a song, it's a little speedy, but I want you to notice the message. We've sung this for years, but the question this morning is, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in our life. Amen. We must go to Calvary and be washed in his precious blood. It says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's sing it this morning like we mean it. All right. Here we go. All right, everybody sing with me now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you seated as well. Again, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. Some have been visiting for some time, and you have to watch us because we'll just claim you as home folk. Amen. But we're thankful that you have chosen Calvary as your place of worship this morning. What a joy it is to be in his house. Amen. I still don't sound good, but I feel good. Now don't get that James Brown phrase. I'd try it, but I'd strip a gear this morning, and I got to try my best to save my voice for next Sunday. Would you please pray? I need the Lord just to touch my voice. Amen. We've got a pretty good program, I believe, lined up for next Sunday, and I want you to come, and I want you to invite some folks to come. We're going to try our best to maybe send out some things this week, and We want the house to be full, and it's going to be, I believe it's a great program. I believe it's what God's given us, but I want it to be more than a program, and I'll present that to you in a little different way next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Not 5, but 6 o'clock p.m. for next Sunday evening service as we present Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So please remember that. Next Saturday, choir from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. This afternoon at 3 o'clock. So we got some work to do, and we're going to try our best to do it. Amen. But you pray for us. We don't need any more COVID. We don't need any more sickness. We don't even need a head cold. We need the hand of God to be upon us. And so pray the Lord would just be with us all and touch us all. Be with these prayer requests that have been made this morning. Some, I'm sure, are unspoken. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and just ask that God would have his hand upon the service. What a beautiful time as we celebrate in the communion service this morning. To think of what the Lord has done for us. And the choir's going to sing a song in a few moments that says, I love the Lord. Brother David Barker, would you take us, Lord, in word of prayer?
praise the Lord this morning. And thank God for Jesus. Appreciate our deacons preparing the table this morning. And the plan is to bring a message, a mini message, and then transition over into communion. We're going to have a transitional song / invitation, which I've asked Miss Amanda to sing after the message. And so that's what we want to do this morning. But thank you, men, for coming and having things ready. Luke chapter number 2 for a few moments this morning. Luke chapter number 2. I want to kind of do a 2-in-1 if I could, since it is Communion Sunday. I do want to talk about the Lord's life for a few moments. And in just a few moments, we will read from Luke chapter number 2. Again, we will be observing communion in just a few minutes. First, I would like to bring a different kind of message concerning Jesus and his sacrifice. I want to do an overview of his life, reading some verses, along with a poetical style summarization over many parts of his life leading up to the cross, if I could this morning. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on this subject, from the cradle to the cross. From the cradle to the cross. In the life of Jesus, there were three time periods. The first was the silent period, and the second was the serving period, and then the third was the sacrificial period. So I want to do an overview of these three periods of the Lord's life, from birth to death. Number one this morning, in Luke chapter number 2, we see the silent period. The silent period. From birth to 30 years of age covers the silent years of the Lord's life. Not a whole lot was said within these 30 years, but there was one thing said that is still being sounded today, and that is the miraculous birth of Jesus. I want you to notice in chapter number 2 in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So we do see the miraculous birth of Jesus. It's miraculous for many reasons. One, because of the prophecy that was foretold about it. For hundreds of years, thousands of years even, It was told in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come and he would be the Savior of the world. And we know that there was a dark period in Bible history. We know that in the book of Malachi and then the book of Matthew, there was a space of time where things were silent. I mean, it was just silent. There was no prophecy. There was no preaching, so to speak. There was no open vision. There was no word from God. Things were just silent. But then on one specific night, one special occasion, there was a cry. And it was the cry of baby Jesus. And I do want to look forward in through the portals of time whenever Jesus does come again. There's going to be another cry when he splits the eastern skies and he comes for his church. And it's also going to be a dark time in which we live because these are dark times. And so the Lord Jesus is coming back. But he had a miraculous birth, not only because of the prophecy that was involved, but also because of who God used to bring this all about. God used Caesar Augustus to send out this decree that all the world should be taxed or a census taken. And this is what got Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem. We know in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And we know that Joseph was from the house and the lineage of David and from Bethlehem, so he went back there. But it was through this type of agent, if you would, this type of method that God used to move on the heart of Caesar Augustus to get things where they need to be for prophecy to be fulfilled that was so miraculous. Not only in the life of Jesus and his birth was this miraculous, but God uses agents in our life as well. God uses things in our life to move us to his will, to keep us in his will. Sometimes it is health complications living in God's will. Sometimes it is setbacks and struggles living in the will of God. But God will do what he has to do to keep us moving along, living for him. And so we see that here in the book of Luke chapter number 2. During the silent period, it actually started out with a bang. But things did get silent. In the same chapter, Luke chapter number 2. If you notice in verse number 40, down through verse number 42, we learn of not only his miraculous birth, but we learn of his maturing boyhood. In verse number 40 of Luke chapter number 2, the Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And so the next thing we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ is we hear of him being a boy, a 12-year-old. But the Bible does say that he grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We know he was 12 years old because in verse 42, the Bible says, "And when he was 12 years old," it goes on and says, "they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." And so Jesus, young Jesus, this young Messiah, he grew. He waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God, or the favor of God was upon him. Not only this happened to Jesus, but this should also continue to happen to us. We should grow as children of God. If we've been saved for any length of time, we should grow as babies grow. They come into this world, what? On the bottle. And then over time, they go from the bottle to solid food. And then before you know it, they're ready for hamburgers and steaks at a certain period of time. They transition from milk to meat. And that ought to be the case in every believer's life is that from the time we get born again, we ought to continue to grow and grow and grow. We ought not still be on the bottle this morning drinking on milk. We said before, I'll say it again, someone has a baby and they're feeding their baby and you go over and visit their baby. Oh, cute little baby. You know, and then you go to hold the baby and it burps in your face and oh. You leave and you come back 10 years later and you go in the house and the baby is still on the bottle, still got the blanket up to its face and drinking the bottle, and it looks a little different now because it has been 10 years ago and the baby is still on the bottle. That baby should be eating McDonald's and Burger King, but is still on the bottle. Let us not still be on the bottle, but let us be eating spiritual McDonald's and Burger King. Amen. This morning, listen, we ought to continue to grow and then to wax strong in spirit. Let us have a fervent spirit for Jesus, a passionate spirit. Let us be strong in spirit. Listen, this old world, the devil in the flesh will try to break your spirit. There are people in this world that love giving tongue lashings. They just say whatever's on the top of their heads. And listen, if we're not careful, we can be broken in spirit. Has anybody ever been offended at someone's words? I have. Have you? And early on in ministry, this happened to me, and I began to get accustomed to receiving everything off the tops of people's heads. And over time, I started to realize, well, I shouldn't take this so personal, because it does come along with the position and the job. But sure enough, this morning, if we're not careful, we can have a weak or a broken spirit, whether it's by something someone says or by the devil himself bringing up accusations in old cases that have been settled at the cross. He, our flesh people, will try to break our spirits if we're not careful. So we got to wax strong in spirit as Jesus did. The Bible says he was filled with wisdom, understanding, and the grace of God was upon him, the favor of God. I want the favor of God upon me, don't you? I want his blessing upon my life. And so we see during this silent period, we have a miraculous birth. We have a maturing boyhood. But then from the ages of 12 till 30, which is an 18-year time frame, is absolutely nothing. Nothing is said. And so this is known as the silent period. The silent period. Now, number two, I said there's not only the silent period, but there's the serving period. This is from the ages of 30 to 33 or 33 and a half years old. Luke chapter number 3 for a moment. Look in verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So we see here that Jesus was 30 years of age when his ministry started. Jesus, during this particular time, he was introduced and baptized at age 30, introduced by John, that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He was introduced to the world as the Lamb of God by John. He was baptized by John. And we see some of that here in Luke chapter number 3 leading up to Luke 3 leading up to verse number 23. We see some of these things taking place. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 1, we see a sudden change of events after Jesus' introduction to the world and his baptism. It was at his baptism where the Father said, "My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This was an amazing experience. This was a great experience. But in Matthew chapter number 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And so what we find there in the takeaway or application to our lives could be in that particular point is that sometimes in life, after great victories or great times of refreshing of our spirits by the Lord, there comes temptation or the tempter. He likes to put his nose in things when things are going well. He likes to come alongside of what God is doing, and he likes to stir the waters. He likes to create trouble. Again, I've said this before, we're not trying to give him no more credit than he deserves. He don't deserve no credit, but he is problematic this morning. And so what I'm saying is guard yourself after great events. Guard yourself after victories in your life, after successes and things that God has done. God is great on Sunday. God is great on Monday, but be careful how things go on Monday. Someone said one time, it doesn't matter how high you jump on Sunday, it's how straight you walk on Monday. And so we got to guard our walk on Mondays. And so we see that here in these verses. That Jesus was introduced to the world as the Lamb of God. He was baptized. And his ministry started from the age 30 to 33. Some believe Jesus ministered during at least 3 annual Passover feasts. That's how we get the 3 to 3.5 years which John records. During this serving period, Jesus preached the gospel. He called his disciples. He healed the sick. Performed many miracles, all proving he was the Son of God. Speaking of his disciples this morning, the moment he called them, he began to prepare them for his departure. He spoke about his death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and return. He emphasized abiding in Christ, and he emphasized that in order to have ability to overcome things in life, you must abide in Christ. He emphasized and he mentioned persecution and how that if he suffered, they would suffer. He talked about being rejected of the world and despised of men. He instilled principles in their hearts and minds to live by. He talked about the Comforter who would lead and guide. All this and much more during the serving period. Time of Jesus' life. We said there were 3 periods in the life of Christ. There was the silent period. There was the serving period. But then there was the sacrificial period. The sacrificial period. Jesus would go on to fulfill the Father's plan upon the cross, dying innocently for the human race and sins of the world. He would be placed in a tomb, then rise from the grave 3 days later, ascend back to the Father, and now he's waiting for the Father to give him the word to come get us. But before his death, he had a Last Supper. This was an intimate time with the faithful few, the closest. It was a time of breaking of bread, which spoke symbolically about his body that would be broken. And then he gave the cup, speaking about his innocent blood that would be shed. Keep in mind, his heart was growing heavy during this time because he knew that he was making his way to the old rugged cross. But not only that, there was a betrayer that sat at the table. There was one who was going to betray him. And so his heart was heavy during supper because of the cross and his coming death, but also because of the betrayal of someone. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he agonized in prayer. His disciples slept, and he told them to sleep on after the second time. Sleep on, for it's time for the Son of Man to be betrayed. My life has fallen into the hands of sinful men. And so he cried out to God in brokenness, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. The medical term for this sweat and blood is called hematohidrosis. Something along those lines. Hematohidrosis. This is a rare condition of sweating blood. Of only a few cases ever reported in history, Jesus being one of them. The betrayer came forth and landed a kiss right on the cheek of Jesus. One who sold him out for silver. Jesus was arrested and he was taken away. Jesus stood trial. A murderer named Barabbas, who was guilty as charged, who committed murder, most believe he was released. Jesus was kept. We have a picture here of Jesus giving his life for mine. We have a picture here of Jesus giving his life for your life. We were like Barabbas. We were guilty as charged. We had not a case in the court of law. I don't know if Brother Allen's ever heard of this or not. I had a few friends that's been locked up back before I got saved. I used to run with. They knew this. I think my brother even has this tattoo on his hand. What is it? One judge, 13 jurors, and half a chance. Or one judge, 12 jurors. What is it? 12, 13 jurors, and half a chance. All right. Barabbas was let go. Jesus was kept. Listen, we didn't have a chance. We broke the law. We have failed to the law. We were destined for hell. But Jesus, in the great exchange, he gave his life and took our life. What a blessing that is. And so we see that that Jesus stood this trial. Barabbas was released. Jesus was kept to be crucified. Even this particular occasion, again, gave the picture that he gave his life for the guilty, his life for ours. He was beaten. He was battered, smitten of men. His beard was plucked. For those who don't believe in beards, it's biblical. It's biblical. His beard was plucked, crowned with thorns. He was punched while being blindfolded and told to prophesy. He carried his cross up Golgotha's hill in agony. He was placed on the cross, nailed to the cross, hung from the cross, shed his blood on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He died upon the cross after saying, "It is finished." 3 days later, he rose from the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. Today, he's in heaven as our high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father. Any moment, the Father will whisper the words, if I can say it in southern terms, go get them. Go get them. This morning was just a mini message on the three time periods of the Lord's life. And that is the silent period, servant period, sacrificial period. We just tried to take you from the cradle to the cross as fast as we could. Trying to, with the intellect, which is not much that I have, expound and emphasize the life Jesus lived. And so this morning, as we transition into communion, this is also our time of invitation. Let's go ahead and stand, give you a moment to stand, maybe, and give a stretch before we sit again. But if you need to come this morning as Miss Amanda gets ready to sing, please feel free to come.
In and out of situations that tug of war at me all day long. for that sacred moment. No doubt can interfere in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Through His love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. Now there's never any for you to give up in despair. Just slip.